We read for you. Atlantis, the Dark Continent. A book by Paul Williamson and Linda Braithwaite. Read by JP on Wolf Spirit Radio. Atlantis, the Dark Continent. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Welcome back. So, this looks like definitely, finally, the last bit. Definitely, for sure, final bit. Definitely. Really. Okay. So, we are still in chapter. Let's just find where the chapter began. I think it was chapter 17. Yeah, long chapter, very long chapter. Da-da-da. Oh, there we are, yes. Still, chapter 17. So the name of this character is Jolly, and this is part 4, I think, of 7. But I think we're right at the end. This will be the last episode. Part 4, Death of a Friend. It has been many months now, working within the sacred mountain with the others. We have built close bonds of cooperation through our endeavors. The earth energies have settled appreciatively, and the elders are pleased. Somehow, though, I have become increasingly restless. I feel that I am not in the right place. My thoughts keep turning to Shastar and our beloved mountain sanctuary. I feel anxious about whether Shastar has left himself enough protection. I communicate with him through my stone, and he tries to reassure me, but I am not convinced. When I am sensing with my stone around the northern cities, I feel desolation, anger, and confusion. This is not right somehow. What is happening there? I'm making a decision to leave the sacred mountain. I want to go immediately and return to Shastar. Clearly, I feel I need to be there to help him. My friends Nikkei and Vulmar will come with me. They share my concerns. Others will have to fill our places on the rota. However, in my mind, I know where I need to be. We are travelling along the mountain paths with still some distance needing to be covered, when suddenly I feel a need to stop. Hastily I reach to take my stone out of its protective cloth. Nikkei and Volmar look on concerned. We all know that something is wrong. I can hardly pick up Shastar. I sense danger around the sanctuary. It is being attacked. I feel the presence of the military. There are so many of them. I sense the priest. They are breaking down the barriers. I sense violence and deaths. I look across at the others. We must hurry. We must get there quickly and help if we can. But we are already too late. Why didn't I return earlier? It is later now. We have gone as fast as we could, but we are having to rest. Our bodies are not fit enough to go on indefinitely. I am using the opportunity to sense with my stone. As I concentrate, I try to reach Shastar. He's not at the sanctuary. He's not there. For a moment I panic. I hope he is not dead. I remember what happened with my sister. However, I do not give up. I search more widely, pleading with him to respond. There is a signal that is very weak. I wonder if I am imagining it, but it could be him. If we follow this signal, then we may find him. I don't want him to be dead. I notice that I am more concerned for Shastar than I am for the actual sanctuary. Shastar has been like a father to me, and he has been such an important figure in my life. As I turn my attention to the sanctuary, I sense a sadness and a deadness. It doesn't feel as though the sanctuary belongs to the healers anymore. The military have taken over. The sanctuary has gone and can no longer be my home. We keep on walking, and we come to a little wooden hut on the other side of the mountain from where the sanctuary is located. This is a hut used by travelers as a resting place. We know he is there. My heart is pounding as I go and open the door. I see Shastar lying in a bed at the far end of the hut. There are two other healers with him. One of them is Shular, who then comes hobbling over to me as fast as he can. He embraces me with joy. I am so glad to see him. Gently, Shula motions us over to the bed. We sit beside Shastar. He is very pale and weak-looking. I fear the worst. When I touch his hand, he opens his eyes and looks up at me. "I wanted you to come," he says to me. Shula busies himself to make hot drinks for us, and then proceeds to tell us the story of what happened to them. They had been studying the conditions in the cities quite a lot with their stones and had been very worried. Their whole society, the fabric of the cities, was breaking down. There was chaos, the vegetation was dying, people fell sick, food was not growing. People were becoming very upset and unhappy. The discipline of daily activities within the cities was not working. Some of these people were very angry and they wanted to lash out for what had happened to them. The attack, when it came, was fairly much without warning. There were military, but also scientists and healers. They seemed utterly determined to break through and find some energy sources to replace what they had been denied. Shastar and a few of the others tried to hold them off by using psychic shields, but they had the will and means to break these down. These people, the soldiers and others, were brutal. They killed and slashed the healers in the sanctuary without mercy. It was like all their pent-up rage found its outlet against the healers who were there. Most of them didn't have a chance. Some managed to escape through the lower entrance. Shula said he is fortunate to be near there when the soldiers came, but they had little time to retrieve what was valuable. The screams and agonies of some of the healers were horrible to hear. Shastar, in typical fashion, tried to protect and look after others before himself. He left his own escape too late. Shula thinks it was that priest who stabbed him in the stomach. Two of the other healers then sacrificed themselves so that Shastar could be helped away. I look down at Shastar and feel so much love for him. Shastar really wanted to see me before he died. He tells me to go peacefully and thanks me for my friendship. He says he fears for the safety of the land. He is urging me to try and preserve the secrets and spiritual gifts of our land, whatever happens. I want to try and give him healing, make him stronger, but he says it is too late for that. His time to die had come. Slowly, I feel the life energy withdrawing from his hand. Shastar closes his eyes. His breathing becomes slower until it stops, and there is peace in the room. I can sense that Shastar's soul is leaving, and I try to pray to wish him well. There is a beautiful feeling in the room, even though, at the same time, I feel incredibly sad and desolate. Shastar was my best friend. He taught me such a lot. The others want to go on, because they have a place where we can be. However, I want to be with the body of Shastar. I need time to mourn the death of my friend. I want to give him a simple burial and honor his passing. I want to reflect about the sanctuary, my time with him, all the good experiences we have shared, and how I feel now about his loss. My heart feels heavy and I cannot help the sobs from convulsing me. Once again it is Shula by my side to comfort me. I am glad at least to still have him. Sometimes I think of the priest who killed Shastar and who afflicted my life with so much misery while I was living in the city, and my emotions... Sometimes I think of the priest who killed Shastar and who afflicted my life with so much misery while I was living in the city, and my emotions swirl with a mixture of feelings. One part of me feels extremely bitter at his cruelty and his callousness, wanting domination over others and power. But another part of me wishes he would change, and that he and his colleagues would just see what they are doing to our precious land. As I sit beside Shastar's burial place, I feel a need to pray for the priest, and that is what I do. It is very hard for me to leave Shastar, but I am aware it is only his body that remains. I do not know how much more loss and suffering I will have to endure, but I feel I will have to go on, and I want to respect the wishes Shastar expressed to me. I have had to let go completely of the sanctuary where I live with Shastar. Briefly, I tried to imagine it, if it may be possible in some way to retake it. But it would be hopeless. In any case, I do not wish to engage in a form of fighting such as these people have been doing. Whatever they want from that sanctuary, I can't stop them now. And although he is the slowest because of his disability, Shula is the one most urging us on. The others have gone on to another sanctuary further up in the mountains. This sanctuary is virtually unknown to me. It does not receive visitors apart from invited healers. Shastar has never spoken of it before. Apparently, their work is taken up solely with earth healing and distant healing for people and the land. They have welcomed us to come because of our need, and this might be quite an extraordinary step for them. Now we have arrived at this sanctuary, and it is a marvelous place. Much of it is deep underground. There are crystal formations, not as big as with the sacred mountain, but I can feel the power. However, the strongest feeling that this place generates is a deep peace. The people who live here are a very silent and meditative people. We are expected to respect this atmosphere in the way we are here too. When I look at the people here, I notice that their faces are almost expressionless. There is very little emotion or animation that seems to express itself through them. Rather, they carry within them a deep sense of calm. Their energies are directed to accomplish their work, and we have been invited to join them. Their spokesman has told us details of their work, our accommodation, and some general welcome. He says that they all sympathize with our plight. They are all very concerned about the state of our land, and they hope that our presence will help them to add more power to the work they are doing. It is a very simple life we will live there. Somehow this suits me. One of my favorite places is where they attend to the healing of the earth. There is a giant crystal formation where they sometimes conduct ceremonies or allow mediation practices to channel healing to the earth. This place feels very beautiful and loving. The most interesting facet of the sanctuary... The most interesting facet of the sanctuary is the presence of the oracles. Three of them live here, and one of them, a young woman, offers herself in service to channel directly from the earth spirit. These are so different from the oracles in the city. These are true oracles. I know that their channeling is genuine. As well as channeling from the earth spirit, the people here also channel from other sources beyond our plane. I do not fully understand it, but I am very interested to learn. When the oracle channels from the earth spirit, the healers here gather to listen. What she says is communicated to selected sanctuaries across the land. The information which is imparted is precious, and the people here know what comes through is true. I feel a great sense of awe when I listen to her. It is one of those channeling sessions. I am gathered with the other healers in the special chamber. We are all here to listen. There is a stone structure upon which she lies. This has been carved to be narrower near its base and then curved outwards to look like an oval-shaped table. In this has been carved a body shape, so that when the oracle prepares herself, she is lying within the stone. A cloth is draped over the stone for the ceremony, and the oracle lies on this. The stone is a conductor stone with roots that go deep into the earth. I think that it is made of fluorite. As we wait, there are prayers and the low humming to help her guide, her into trance. We can feel her going deeper and almost merging into the stone with her energy. Concurrent with this, we can sense a very rich vibration of energy rising upwards to meet her. Then, when she speaks, her voice is different to normal. Deeper, but the resonance of it flows easily to us. The channeling begins with some specific guidance about methods of earth healing and adjustments that are needing to be made within the sanctuary. But then, as the theme of the channeling becomes broader and more general, the oracle speaks that the earth is reaching the end of its tolerance of what it can countenance from the activities of people upon this land. The interference is growing, and people across the land are not respecting the natural forces of the earth energy sufficiently. The stability of the meridians of energy are being pushed and pulled to such an extent that the stability of the fabric of the land and its energy are being disrupted. Although efforts have been made within the sacred mountain to direct the energy into its more natural channels, there are those now in various parts of the land striving to pull the energy out of alignment again. The tension is growing, and however much love and healing we pour into the earth, it may not be enough to rectify the damage. The earth spirit tells us that the crisis is worsening, and soon there may be no return. We must stop the disturbances if we can, or soon it will be too late. At the end of the channeling session, there is a very somber atmosphere in the cabin. I wonder what I can do. There is an impulse in me wanting to struggle with the people causing the disturbances, maybe even to fight them. But I know that is not the way. All I can do is to accept the oracle's words and do what I can here. Return to the Sacred Mountain. It is some years later. I have continued to link with other people and places throughout the land by using my communicator stone. There appears to have been a backlash against what the healers in the Sacred Mountain have been doing. Not only has our sanctuary been taken over by the military and Shastar killed, but several other mountain sanctuaries have also been threatened. Now the Sacred Mountain itself is in danger. It seems that when the various cities had their source of earth energy cut off, the scientists and military in these places tried to discover the reason for this block. They felt that there must be a strong power source of energy operating to be able to stop their supply. And of course, they have wanted this power for their own use. So, there are now scientists and military from the east that have been able to find the skills to be able to locate the general area from which their energy sources have been challenged. Their attention is now directed towards the Sacred Mountain. The soldiers are wanting to advance on the mountain and capture it, and they have started to make progress towards that goal. Healers from the Sacred Mountain are having to be used to erect psychic shields to prevent their exact location from being known. However, this is detracting from the other important work which those healers are still trying to do. Their enemies are making efforts to counteract those shields. So, A battle is proceeding on a psychic level. However, the main problem has been that with the extra healers living within the sacred mountain, they have had insufficient provisions from there to be able to feed them all. The healers have had to arrange regular supply routes from nearby villages for there to be enough food for everyone. Now this has come to be very, very vulnerable to possible attack. In the meanwhile, one of my friends, who is still in the sacred mountain, has requested my help in the situation, and I feel inclined that I want to go. I have been talking with my friends Vulmar and Nike, and they want to accompany me. We feel drawn to help with the maintenance of the supply lines. If we could add our experience to help build up stores and a secure supply route, then this may help to stabilize the situation. We realize that the integrity of the sacred mountain is vitally important. When I try to tune into the military from this area, I sense that they are very determined and are laying plans for a protracted siege. It feels like a noose that they want to tighten around the mountain more and more. Without help, the outlook for those in the mountain could be bleak. It is later now. Nike, Bulmar, and I have been helping with others to organize a provision route into the sacred mountain. They have enough water through springs that bubble up into the mountain itself, so it is just food that they need. There was already a food supply line in operation. We have had to strengthen that, so that the healers within the mountain could build up their stores in case the situation eventually becomes more critical. With this, we feel we have been more successful. As the months are passing, our work is becoming more tense and dangerous. Soldiers are patrolling the local villages and people are being threatened and bribed for information. We have to be very careful with our contacts so that there could be no betrayal. So far, we have been fortunate and the military have found no evidence of who is involved in the supply line. However, the number of soldiers is increasing and the people helping us are becoming afraid. The soldiers are even more brutal with people who they feel are not open. It is not the sort of circumstances that I like. Now it is evening time and I am approaching the village from which we get our main supplies. Something's wrong, I can feel it. As I get nearer, I can hear screams and shouts. There is a strong smell of smoke. The village is burning. The soldiers are burning the village. They are killing people. Vulmar and Nike are with them. No, Vulmar and Nike are with me. I hang my head in despair. We have to hide. I hear horrible noises of suffering, and I know I can do nothing about it. It feels that everything I do to try and help the land fails. Nothing in my life I have done has helped the situation. Everything dear to me, anyone who wants to try to help, is being defeated. I am beginning to feel that there is no hope. Without this village, there are no supplies for the sacred mountain. Without the supplies, I don't know how the people will manage inside the mountain. The soldiers will win. The stores may help them for a while, but what then? I don't know what else I can do here. Inside, I feel that I want to return to the sanctuary of the Oracle. I do not feel that it is my place to be in the sacred mountain now. The guidance I sense is more for me to return from where I have come. Nike and Vulmar feel similarly. We have become very close now through all of our shared experiences. Together, though, we feel very sad. We are distressed about what has happened. We feel a foreboding around the sacred mountain, that it may fall into the hands of the soldiers. If this happened, then I feel it would be the end. Sometimes we are experiencing strange weather. On occasions, there are storms which are unusual in our country. I keep having visions of the sea. When I look inwardly, I see visions of the sea, and it is an upheaval, and the sky is black. I do not understand this. Through my stone, when I gaze at the sea, there are images of ugly storms, huge waves, and surging torrents of chaos and violence. I cannot understand what that could be. It frightens me. We must return to the sanctuary of the oracle. We do not want to be here any longer. Prophecy of Doom. At last, we have arrived at the sanctuary of the oracle. It took us a considerable time to manage the journey. My legs do not move as swiftly anymore as they did in my youth. However, it is a relief to be here, to be with my other friends again. Today is an important gathering for all the healers. There are even some who have come from other sanctuaries. We have been warned that there is to be an important transmission from the Earth Spirit today. I sense that it is not something pleasant that I will want to hear. Instead of the usual peace and calm, I feel a lot of nervous apprehension. We are gathered close and huddled together. As the oracle lies on her stone, the healers hum as she goes into trance. I feel a strange mixture of intense love and sadness rising with energy from within the earth. When eventually the oracle speaks, the message is short and completely shocking. The earth spirit tells us that the land will be destroyed. There is no hope anymore. Adjustments will be made. A new start must be found. But the people have wrecked this land through selfish designs and must now bear the consequences. The channeling ends abruptly, and suddenly the oracle raises her body. She has been startled as much as the rest of us. In my heart I feel a great heaviness and a sadness. I can hardly believe what I have heard. A large part of me does not want to believe it. How could the whole land be lost? There is a stunned silence among our group, with one or two people quietly sobbing. The oracle lies back. There is more she needs to channel. There is still some time for the land. However, once the sacred mountain falls, the end will shortly follow. She said that the sacred mountain will fall and there is nothing we can do about it. The forces of determination to take that mountain and use its power are overwhelming. We need to make plans and preparations towards leaving the land. There is much that needs to be preserved so that the new places of civilization can have the best of the knowledge that we have gained, so all is not lost. It is later now. The oracle has informed us of some options for our migrations. The main ones would be for us to either travel to lands west or east of our land. I sense in myself that I will be going more in the direction east. The oracle has channeled that reaching this land, we will need to cover much distance, passing through dense vegetation, until finally coming to a place where there is a great river. The river is a center of power, from which a new civilization may arise. People are already living there. People are arriving there from different origins, attracted by the energy of the river. Although I know my time will be fully occupied with tasks connected with the planned migrations, I feel reluctance in me to proceed. My knowledge of boats will be needed. We will have to be very careful and precise in what we do. Visiting harbors in the towns to the north, we will not want to arouse suspicions about our intentions. However, the thought is what is going to happen to our land is almost unbearable to me. I have not wanted to live my life for this. Part 5. The Oracle speaks for the last time. It has been a hard struggle these last years, living in a kind of limbo, gathering resources in readiness to leave our land. I still don't want to do it. I don't want this precious land to be destroyed. However, there are forces much greater than mine at work, and it makes me feel very small. I feel no enthusiasm to go to a new land, but I do want to serve and help preserve some legacy from what we have here. I could have given up long ago, but I refuse to do that. There must be some fruit for my labours, even if I cannot see what they are. At least I still have friends with me. I still feel a great love of people. It feels good to work together and do what we know we must. My body is quite old now. I feel my body must be about 60 years old. My bones are quite stiff, but my mind remains very alert. We are gathered in the cavern where the channeling takes place from the earth spirit. My friends are with me, Chula, Nike, Vulma, and many others. We are all close. Everyone has come today because we know it will be the last time that the Oracle will speak to us. The news has been passed on about the Sacred Mountain. Although they were able to hold off the invaders for a long time, much longer than I thought would be possible, I have seen in my stone that the mountain has fallen. The soldiers are now in that mountain and controlling the crystal at the heart of the mountain. They are wanting to use it, of course, to increase their own power. The atmosphere in the cavern is a mixture of almost grim resignation and nervous elation. Some of the younger ones here feel a sense of excited anticipation with the adventure of going to another land. The time has almost come. For me, though, I feel only loss, because I love the land here where I have lived my life so much. I love the mountains, I love the energies, I love the seas, the country and the earth here. It breathes with me. I feel part of it, and I just do not know that I could feel a sense of home anywhere else as much as I feel it here. The Oracle is now preparing herself, and besides the faint humming of sound, we are otherwise silent in expectation. Now the energies rise up and the Oracle starts to speak. The Earth Spirit is telling us that it is with sadness that our efforts are no longer required on this land. The time has come for the upheavals to begin. For us to survive, we need to make urgent preparations and leave. It is a matter of days, not weeks, before the earth movements will engulf the land and it will be no more. She is thanking us for our efforts, the work we have tried to do. She regrets that Maud did not join with us to possibly avert this tragedy. She assures us that there will be other lands, there will be other places, there will be other civilizations. She says that the earth spirit is resilient. The earth spirit, in the end, needs to look after herself. We, the children of the earth, need to learn respect, and if we do not, then we bear the consequences. As these last words die away, I try to absorb what has been said to us. It is another ending that again pushes us forward. Last goodbyes. We have made our last preparations to leave. It is a long distance from the sanctuary to the seaside. Shula is quite old like me, and making progress with him is very difficult. We have a device that has been constructed to help him carry down the mountains because he cannot walk very fast. At least he is still alive and able to be with me, as are Nike and Vulma. These long-standing companions are particularly precious to me. With them I can share the joys of earlier times when perhaps things were not quite as they are today. I am grateful that I have not lost everyone important to me. I am also glad that I still have some strength, and so I am able to walk down the mountains unaided. However, the younger ones do need to be a little patient with me at times. There is one place I have to visit before we leave. This is very, very important to me. I want to go to the Earth Sanctuary where I went many times as a young adult, when I still lived in my hometown. I have to go there to say farewell. It is very, very shocking for me to feel that I need to do this. But this place, I still remember, was the most significant and nourishing refuge for me when I was young. I still feel that it was the place that helped me most then, when I really needed it. I am now approaching the Earth Sanctuary. I have come here alone, feeling that I did not want anyone here to support me. I had to do this by myself, even though my friends wanted to be here with me. This is my place, not theirs. And I am sitting on the stone where I sat as a child. It is still here, and I feel such sadness looking around at the trees, the familiar trees and the clearing. This place I have loved so dearly, and I still feel the peace that exists here. I can hardly believe or fathom that soon it will be no more. As I sit on the stone, I close my eyes in the way I did when I was a child. I ask for help. I ask for guidance, and I feel the energy. I feel those hands again upon me. And it is a great comfort just to know that I am not alone, that I am being supported even now by the guardians of this place. And I feel the sense of light. I feel the blessing. It is almost incomprehensible for me to believe that I won't be able to come here again. I just say, thank you, inside. I say thank you with all my heart, and then I know I have to leave. Walking slowly away from the sanctuary, going beyond the clearing to the trees heading down the hill, I know that however much I may wish it, I cannot turn back. I have to go forward now, away from this place that I love, away from this home, and every home that I have ever known, to a new land. It is later, and I am with my companions again. Our preparations are advanced, and we are standing by the harbour. Our plans are for us to leave in various boats in small groups from different ports. It is with poignancy that my group is going to leave from the harbour where I was born. My familiarity with the town has been important, as has been my knowledge of boats. I suppose that most of the people I may have known in childhood have long since gone, but the place is still familiar, and much of it as it was then. We have had to carefully consider the type of boat which we would use, because we know that disturbances that destroy the land are certain to affect the sea. So we have chosen a small merchant vessel. It is made of white wood, which is very strong. In appearance, it is sturdy and solid rather than fast and sleek. We know that we need stability much more than we need speed. The boat is broad in its beam with a deep draft. Underneath there is a long keel, which we hope will prevent it from sinking. It is a boat designed for the roughest waters, and we know that it will be tested. The boat has sails and oars, but we don't know how much we'll be able to use them once the disturbances are in motion. There are 12 of us travelling together, and we will be able to store our provisions below deck. I sense that it may take considerable endurance for us to survive this journey. It is now the point of our leaving. I am with my friends, Shula, Nikkei, and Vulmar. Together we are boarding the boat now. For some moments I pause and look around. People are occupying themselves in the harbour and town, much as always. There are no indications that people are aware in any way of what is to come. This makes me feel helpless, because I want to tell them. I see a child by the harbour side throwing stones into the water. I would like to shout at him and take him with us, protect him, but I know I can't. I can't do anything now for these people. So even if we survive, somewhere in my heart I know they are doomed. This gives me a heavy feeling in my heart, and I can hardly bear to turn away from them, but I know I must. I must get into the boat now and go with my companions. I am sure that they feel just like me. I cannot help it. But once on board, we find ourselves sobbing together in the boat. It would probably be strange if others saw us like this. However, we feel such a bond, such a love for our land. It is ever so sad to have to leave. We have with us scrolls, maps, stones, and many other important articles. I have with me, of course, my communicator stone. There is no chance I would leave that behind. We have equipment with us, which we hope will be helpful in the new land to carry on our knowledge. We have tried to pool this amongst various members of our sanctuary. By splitting into many small boats, we hope that at least some of these valuables will get through to safety. We know there are many other sanctuaries upon the land aware of the situation like us. Surely they are acting similar to ourselves and may be going to other places, so there is a migration and some of our people will survive. However, when I think of the number of people who are leaving and the number of people who are staying, who will be victims of this tragedy? I am just aware of the size of the catastrophe which is upon us. There is one other of our boats leaving from the same harbour. We can see this boat further along the quayside. There are friends of ours from the Oracle Sanctuary who will travel in it. In fact, the Oracle herself is within that boat. I hope they will have a safe journey, as ourselves. As a last act before our departure, we say our blessings and we unite in asking for guidance and help to protect ourselves during this transition. We ask the Earth Spirit to be with us, to guide us, that we may respect her always. We do this simple ritual together in a circle, holding hands. Then we know we have to move. The journey. We have just slipped the ropes to release our last ties to the land. It is a very strange feeling. The sky is a very odd colour of grey mixed with other colours. It is late afternoon, and the purples and reds around the horizon make for a light that would normally come much later in the evening. We sense that there is a huge storm gathering around the land behind us. I keep looking at it as we get further away. Some part of me wonders if it can really be true what the Oracle said, if it could really be the case that this land is going to be destroyed. It is quite a test for my faith. However, deep inside I know that it is true. We are not doing this for nothing. This is the time now when the destruction of our land is imminent. We must make good speed to be well clear before the changes happen. But how could such a place of beauty, such a place of goodness, energy and love, how could such a place like this turn in such a way so that people end up destroying it? I do not know the answers to this. I just know that inside myself I feel incredibly sad. It feels such a waste, such a dreadful, dreadful waste. It is later, and we have made as much progress as we could, but I sense the changes have begun. Changes have begun. I fear the land may have begun to be destroyed. The sea is choppy. I'm sure the sea will become even more unsettled soon. There is a darkness in the sky. It is daytime, but the sky is dark. I've been looking through my stone. I know it is happening. I can sense the explosions. For our own sakes, I feel we have to go further. We have to go further away to somehow protect ourselves. It's going to be violent. It's going to be very, very, very violent. And I do not know if we can survive. In my stone, I sense the screams, the bewilderment, the horror. The people, the towns and cities, the structures are collapsing. I feel there is nothing anyone can do. It is so horrific. I am transfixed by what I see in my stone. I have to know what is happening to those people, to the land, even though it is ending. Nikkei has her arm around me. She is such a source of comfort to me. She can tell in my face what I am seeing, and the tears are coming down from her eyes as well. The waters, the waves are getting higher and higher. We have to protect ourselves. We have to make sure our boat will not sink. but we have planned for this. We have a special covering to place over the top of the boat to prevent water from coming in. It is made of a form of toughened cloth, and we place this cloth over our boat now and climb below deck. This way, we are more or less sealed in with some spaces for air. So this is where we'll have to stay, at the mercy of the waters to be tossed around. We cannot do anything now. It may be days, it may be many days before the waters settle. I know it will be a test for us personally, and a test for the durability of our boat. We only hope that the cloth and the wooden construction of the boat will be strong enough to withstand the onslaught of the waves. Now we are in the midst of the storm. Our boat is being driven forward. Inside I feel tense and anxious, and I cannot relax. I am close together with Nikkei and Volmar. There has been a loss, a tragic loss. Shula, he has died. His heart has given up. So now I've lost him as well. He couldn't cope any more. Within himself, he felt broken and could not go any further. We've had to lay his body in a corner and leave him there. But now the boat, it is turning, it is being shaken, it is horrifically pounded as we go up and down. I just hope we can manage to hang on until it settles. The sea is remorseless, it goes on and on. I find it impossible to sleep, even though we're all exhausted by it. The boat heaves and then drops, and there is scarcely any break. We only have each other to hang on. I try to pray, to ask for guidance and support, but it doesn't change it. This must be the most horrific experience I have ever had. It is so frightening. At times I just cannot believe that our boat will be able to continue going when... At times I just cannot believe that our boat will be able to continue going when the seas are like this. The sounds of the waves pounding against us are almost deafening at times. Now it is later, days later. The storm has finally passed. I have been sleeping. I think we have all been sleeping. It is quiet. We are starting to rouse ourselves. The waters have finally settled. We all need to adjust ourselves as the covers are taken away. It is like a miracle to be still alive. That covering has saved our lives. We had to protect ourselves in our quarters with much padding so we would not injure ourselves. It takes me a long time to be able to move my body normally again. There are aches and pains everywhere. I need healing ointments. However, once I'm on deck, I feel astonished. It is so calm, and there is sunshine. The sea gives the appearance as though nothing had happened. It is difficult to tell how long we had to endure the storm. There may have been slight modulations of light and dark through the cloth, but it was difficult to tell night from day. It felt like a long time. I really wondered if it would ever end. When I gaze into my stone, I turn my attention towards our former land. I have to know what remains. But I see only ocean, calm seas, and it looks like as if there was never anything there. Now we are trying to get our bearings for our location. One of our companions has climbed high on the prows. She has seen land. We are near to land. It is strange with the night sky. The orientation we usually use from the stars seems somehow to have changed. The new land is not quite where it should be, according to our calculations. We feel the earth has moved. The new land. It feels different. The vegetation is rich. I find it very strange to feel solid ground beneath my feet. It takes me a while to adjust. I feel the energy, of course. However, with this, I feel disappointed. The energy here is not nearly as intense as it was in our land. Somehow, I'm beginning to realize what we've lost. I feel we have lost something very precious. My inner intuition tells me that there may be nowhere on earth at this time where the energies are as strong and powerful as in the land where we lived, the land that is no more. We've lost so much. I feel that collectively, people may not be able to regain that again. Maybe for a long, long, long time. It feels like a tragedy, not just for us, but for the whole human race. We have little knowledge of the other boats. I've tried to use my stone to contact them, and I do sense that some of them have reached land, but not near us. However, I also feel that some of the boats have been lost. I sense for the boat from our harbour with the oracle in it, but I cannot raise any contact with it. I feel that it must have gone down. Anyway, we know the next stage of our journey. We have to cross this land till we eventually find the big river. My stone can serve as a navigational instrument. I hope that we can make it. Now it is later. We have been traveling a long, long time, and it has been very difficult for us. The vegetation is so thick and unyielding. Two of us have been killed on the journey from animals that have attacked us. We did not bring weapons to protect us. It has been very hazardous. I've never seen animals like this, so fierce and big. Some are like cats. We have met no people on our travels. There are knives and cutting instruments that we have had to use to force our way through the vegetation at times to make progress. This has taken much longer than ever I thought it would. We have needed to gather food for ourselves to eat. This has proved to be a task. There has been much variety of food. However, because it is so far unfamiliar to us, we have had to test which of the berries and nuts and plant life would be edible for us, and which were not. We do have sensitivity for this, and so we have needed to try out many of these possible foods for their qualities. In a way, this is helping us because we are learning what foods in particular we may need to cultivate once we have settled in order to survive. But this also has taken time and sapped my patience. I noticed that my own body feels very tired. This whole journey has been an ordeal. I feel determined to make it, but I feel I may nearly have had enough. I feel exhausted in my physical body, but even more exhausted in my soul. It is later. The vegetation has become less dense. Our progress is now more rapid. I think we have arrived because I can see a river. It is a long and wide river. I can tell that it has a power. There was a power in the land around here, and the power is within the water of the river. I have noticed with my stone that there are other people here, settlers, some from our land, some from other places. We are not the first. I hope that we will be welcome. Well, I'm just going to finish this. See how long it takes. My death. We have now been settled in the new land for a short while. I feel my time has come. I am sitting by a tree close to the river. I am sitting by myself, and I feel the tall presence of a woman beside me. This is not a human presence, but spirit. I feel that she is my guardian. It is the same spiritual being who visited me at the Earth Sanctuary in my homeland when I visited there. She was with me, as well as the guardians of that place. I feel happy that she is here with me now. She's telling me that I need to come home now. I'm looking at the river and I feel a peace. I know there is much potential here for the growing of a civilization. However, that is for future generations and not for me. I reflect back upon my life and see how far I have traveled, and yet I feel so much a sense of loss. How much easier and more happy I would have been if things had turned out differently. By being true to myself, though, I had to face that. I had to face that loss, and I had to endure much suffering. It has been a very hard life, and I feel weary, as if I have carried a heavy burden with me, and now I want to let it go. With this thought, I feel myself slowly rising upwards, going to somewhere very light. Gradually, I become aware that there are others waiting, here with me. I see here are my friends, my family, my mother, my father, my sister, Shula, Shastar, the people that I loved. They've come to welcome me. I thought that I had lost them all. I thought that I had lost everything. I feel so relieved, but still feel sadness. I feel their love. They commend me for all that I did. Slowly, my thoughts turn to all those souls whose bodies were killed when the land was destroyed. I wonder what became of them. I suppose they all had their path of learning, just like me. As I think of this, I become aware of the presence of the soul who was the priest. He looks even more sad than I am, and it makes me want to comfort him. I feel a connection and a love. I feel my guardian close, and start to feel a strength of spirit rising in me, making me feel taller and stronger, and more ready to face the challenges of what is to come. In that life, I learned to love in adversity, to keep my heart open, even when everything seemed to go against me. It was a tremendous learning experience for me, but I feel that my own journey still has a long way to go yet. More lessons to learn, and I feel prompted to let the experience of that lifetime go behind me and move forward.
You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.